Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She's late. I can tell you that. 2 minutes late, in fact. Yes. You can hear
Michael?
There she is. Hi.
His headphones, hold on.
Yep, put your headphones on. Do it professionally.
Michael, are you there?
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm very well. Sorry, I'm running late. I'll just turn to
Don't worry about it. Are you dropping Tay-Tay?
I am. I'm just going to turn Taylor Swift off.
Okay. Well, I don't like to interrupt anyone dropping Tay-Tay.
I mean, I love Tay-Tay. And also, yeah, I've just defended wonderful. Harry Styles online. I mean, it was a brave choice on my part.
Yeah.
But, seriously, he had to give a spontaneous speech, didn't think he was going to win. I thought he was really sweet and humble. I mean, it's just people are just going, how dare you say this kind of thing doesn't happen to people like you? It only happens to people like you, you lucky white man. And I'm
okay,
like,
but
that's not what he meant, though.
What did he mean? I know he didn't mean that. I know he didn't. But what did he mean?
He meant, ex-members
of boy bands.
Yeah, it's like he was working in a bakery and then he did a talent show and then he got told he wasn't good enough to be a soloist in the talent show, but they bunged them together into a band, and those normally only last about 6 weeks. And then that became huge. And then to have a solo career off the back of that. And I think he was raised by a single mum in a flat above a shop or something, flat above a pub or something. He's not from a musical family. He just wasn't expecting any of this. And then, so what I posted it with is someone had posted this video of him saying, I think about it all the time. Like, there's so many better musicians than me. Like, why has this happened? And so much of it's luck and timing for anyone. So I think he was just having a moment of going, I can't really believe this is happening to me. Like, it just seems implausible. But the rest of it was like all about other people, all about the other artists and all of the people I'm nominated up against, all people I listen to when I'm alone. And I just think, he was just being really like self-deprecating and going, I can't believe this has happened to me. Like, I'm not the best person. So why has this happened to me? He wasn't saying this never happens to white men. He wasn't saying that. He meant lower middle class boys from not London, you know, with, you know, it just, what? You know, it was that.
Do you think he'll go back to being a baker now?
I mean, I bet he misses the eclairs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a loss. Although, you know, I imagine he's got a few bob now. He could probably afford.
He's got a clair of money.
He could have them delivered.
No, but just because you can buy eclairs, if you're not making them anymore, there's going to be something unsatisfying, surely.
Do you think we could get him on Celebrity Bake Off? Because he'd clean up.
Do you think I could get him on it? Yeah, sure. I could definitely get him on it. I'll go, guess what? Go, great idea. I won't be on Celebrity Bake Off. What about Harry Styles? And they'll probably go, great idea. For a minute, we were terrified.
I think he'd clean up. Although bakers do, that's
a big part of being a baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think he was just selling the pastries? Do you think he was just selling croissants or do you think he was making
I'll be honest with you, it's the first I've heard of him working at a bakery. It's from you.
What?
So you were
famously worked at a bakery.
What do you mean famously works at
a bakery? Famously.
He's famously nothing to do with me. I don't know him. He has not entered my life in any freaking way whatsoever.
I really enjoyed Harry's House. I thought it was a really lovely album. Really enjoyed it.
I haven't heard it yet.
I mean,
but thing is, I probably will hear it.
I think you'd enjoy Harry's House. I think you'd find it.
Yeah.
Very pleasant.
The front cover is abhorrent. It's appalling. It actually is enough to put you off ever listening to that.
Who has a front cover anymore? What do you mean?
Well, do you know what? I was having that very conversation the other day. I thought it was very sad that Tom Verlaine died. And then I got very sad because the album cover to Television's Marquee Moon is so brilliant. And I thought, does that even happen anymore? I don't know. But then I remember just now, because of our conversation, about Harry Styles' album cover. And maybe it's just as well that they don't happen anymore.
Oh, I see. Yes, I know this picture. So it's Harry standing on the ceiling, a little bit Gene Kelly. We're looking at the room the other way up. Yeah, which isn't the most original thing I've ever seen, but it's perfectly good. I don't have a strong objection to it, Michael.
Because it's called Harry's House, and guess what? My house inside me is upside down. Fuck off. So I didn't like it. But that's all right. That's all right, because but listen, what did you want from me, Deborah? What did you want from me when I saw that photograph? Did you want me to change my entire personality and become kind?
I mean, I thought this might have been the moment. I thought I might be going to witness the moment.
Like Harry Styles, I have one direction. And there we go.
Okay, well, Harry, if you're listening, I'm sure, Harry, you often listen to Michael Legs Leg Hole. If you're listening, Michael would love to have you as a guest because that would do wonders for him. It would do wonders your ratings.
The great thing is he could come on here and he could say whatever he wants because it's only Neil that listens to it. Do you want to say hello to Neil?
Hello, Neil. What if you did a crossover episode with Hoovering, Jess Foster Q's Hoovering, and Harry could bring like an apple slice or a custard tart, something from his bakery?
Exactly, but it would have to be vegan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would do that. He's probably vegan by now, isn't he? He's so cool. He's got.
How often do you go to Greg's, Deborah Francis White?
I've been once in my life.
Uh-huh.
I'm too bougie.
To like, what was it, a book signing event or something?
Yeah. It was your book launch.
Sure.
It was.
Listen, honestly, I wish that was true because mine was at a pub. So, not far off.
Great. We could all have vegan Greggs's, vegan sausage rolls.
Well, I was in Greggs the other day and I was surprised at the amount of vegan stuff they had.
I will admit to you, I might have been a bit of a complaining white woman in a Greggs at a motorway service station.
Shit. Okay. What did you complain about?
Well,
there was no book signings?
I complained. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you'll be very pleased to hear that I ordered a vegan sausage roll.
Uh-huh. I'm delighted.
I feel is not the accolade I was hoping for. I was hoping for more encouragement. However, so motorway service station, nothing to eat. We were all hungry. We were on tour. And I mean, the thing, I love touring, but I really, the food, the lack
Don't you
of
have catering?
Opportunity for, I mean.
You are successful enough to get catering.
We have a caterer come along with us in a van on the side.
Yeah, like Madonna.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you've really misunderstood the level of success that I'm enjoying. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled with the success I've got because it's absolutely a lot more than I had. So I'm absolutely thrilled. But it doesn't involve personal trainers, caterers, masseuses along for the ride, none of that. So we stop, as I say.
I'm a little bit disappointed to hear this story. Out of this story, I'm not disappointed you went to Greg's. I'm disappointed that you don't have a chef.
Can you imagine? So we stop at a motorway service station. I want something hot because it's freezing cold. And I look around everywhere and it's really, you know, that kind of Burger King, which I can't do. And there were like sandwiches, but they were like
Frankie and Benny's.
Awful stuff. So I thought, oh, I could get a vegan sausage roll at Greg's because I've heard of those and I've never had one. And I don't know if I've ever been to a Greg's before, maybe once or something, but I can't remember it. So, I think I did once in Brighton. Anyway,
there you go.
So I go in and I order the vegan sausage roll and the man gives it to me and I say, oh, sorry, it's cold. And he said, yeah, well, you know, that's how we do them. And we don't have the facility to heat anything up here.
And you didn't know there was a real fuck you attitude in Greg's, did you? You didn't know.
I know. I just said, there is. Well, it's a sausage roll. So like, it really needs to be hot. There are things here that can be cold. There are cream buns and stuff, but this is a hot thing. He said, just try it. It's fine. Just try it. So I tasted it and I said, I'm really sorry. I can't eat that. It's cold. And he went, well, you've had some now. You can't have a refund. He tricked me into eating it.
I would say that's very unfair.
Well, I then didn't. I mean, have you heard the expression Karen? I just was like, can I see the manager, please? I went that way because I just thought it was really unfair. And I was just unreasonable just to be in a bakery and be serving like pies and sausage rolls freezing cold.
Because your chef had the night off.
And they said, no, but at this roadside service, we just don't have that. I'm like, I don't know what you mean you don't have that. Then you're not a bakery and you shouldn't be having anything. You should just have cold.
Fuck me. I would have paid Adele ticket prices to watch that fucking happen.
to hear you say that to
some 14-year-old manager of a Greggs at 2 a.m.
I was just I don't understand. The thing is, it was daytime. That was the worst part. It was broad. This was in broad daylight. This was happening.
Right.
I just was like, I don't understand. Greg Arrows. Just sell things. I just said to them, you should just sell things that are traditionally sold cold then. I don't think you should be advertising pies and sausage rolls and vegan sausage rolls, which are only ever eaten warm or hot, and selling them cold and then going, well, that's your problem. And what annoyed me is this queue formed behind me and not one person backed me up.
They
all just did this absolute poker face, like, we aren't getting involved. And I was like, sort of like, are you guys all going to be happy with cold pies? Because I don't think you should be. Anyway, the guy just then said, next. And I just had to leave. I gave it back to him. I gave it back to him and I said, I can't eat that, so keep it. And obviously keep the money because you've taken it.
I would have eBayed it. Deborah Francis, half of Deborah Francis White sausage roll, I would have eBayed that.
I again think you've wildly overestimated.
If I'm ever allowed back in your flat, I'm going to fucking nick a load of stuff and eBay it.
You've wildly overestimated.
I'm going to nick whatever's in your bin. If I find a cat around, I'm nicking it.
I mean, I think one of my cats could go for quite a lot, but not because it's my cat, because she's, you know, very beautiful. Don't sell her, though, please. She'd be very upset. Others, my bin scraps, you would have to pay someone to take them away, I'm afraid. I'm sorry to disappoint.
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed. But listen, I'll tell you one thing. I love that we've started with such a dramatic story.
I know. And I feel bad. Just to be clear, can I just say,
right,
everyone in the shop was white. So I wasn't like, I just need that out.
So you were with your people.
I've evoked the word Karen, and I don't want anyone thinking that means I was, you know, and I wasn't berating anyone. I was talking in a normal voice, but I was just saying, I just don't think this is very reasonable. And he was going, well, that's what you've got. And I just thought it was not right to trick someone into tasting it, because I could have just returned it. I hadn't touched it. I just felt the bag was cold. And he made me taste it and then said, now you've eaten it. I just didn't expect.
No, I agree. You've been horribly tricked.
I didn't shout at anyone. I just said, this isn't right. I then did walk out and think, I wish I hadn't said anything. I wish I would have just gone, it's fine. I just...
Well, that's what they hope for, Deborah.
I mean, it is.
It's what they hope for. It's what they rely on. They rely on you saying, here's the thing. Like, I'm not blaming you. I'm not, and I want you to understand, I'm not blaming you. But you don't know Greg's. I know Greg's. And when you open that door and you walk inside, if you bring any emotion with you, then you are asking for fucking trouble. So you should have walked in there and just emptied your head of all thought and your heart of all emotion. And whatever they gave you, you just accept it and you walk out. And when you eat it, don't taste it. Just somehow let it exist in your mouth for a moment and then disappear.
I mean, this is the advice I needed then. Where were you? Where were you at that motorway service station?
I was probably at another Greg's. Signing my book.
Mm.
And people calling your book's cold.
Mm. I mean, the next great love of your life might currently be at a Greg's.
I have said that before. I've said that's why you should always be cheery to Greg's staff, because you don't know. I don't know that if someone behind that counter isn't going to be my life soulmate.
Exactly.
I'm always delightful to people who work at Greg's.
I mean, the next great love of your life is out there somewhere now. I mean, I'm assuming you're single, and I don't know that you are. You might be in bed with the next great love of your life now.
I always interrupt sex to record a podcast.
Well, you're not always having sex when you're in bed with your lover.
Are you out of your fucking mind? Of course it is. Have you not heard talk about me? I am a fucking sex monster, guys. I'm really good at it. Why would I ever stop doing it?
I don't think the turn of phrase sex monster is doing for you what you think it is.
Yeah, I guess I used a really terrible phrase there, didn't I?
I think women listening to this.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be any?
I reckon monster is not what people want.
No one wants a monster. We didn't
want it in the bedroom when we were little kids.
No.
Right? We didn't want a monster. And I think that's one of the things we take into adulthood as well. No monsters in the bedroom,
so
please.
So we want it to be said that Deborah is very reasonable in Greg's, and it was a very reasonable exchange. And Michael Legg
sleeps alone.
Is a passionate lover, but also can allow breathing room. You know, sometimes you just want a cup of coffee and a cuddle and reading the papers. I don't know in what world I think you're not on your phone. I just think it's more romantic to have paper. No one does anymore, but you know. And also, you know, has the right amount of throwdown, but isn't like a Lothario. Definitely isn't a monster. Definitely.
I regret saying that I am a monster, because, I mean, how easily editable is a podcast?
Yeah, I would say...
I won't edit it because I can't be bothered.
No, I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what? It was probably just as well that it stopped when it did, right?
I mean, I was just about to say that your doctor lover and the monster is a totally different book.
Totally different book. Totally different book. Listen, we can begin.
Do it.
We can begin.
So it's none of this usable.
Oh, it's all usable. I mean, in as much as I will use it. Is it usable? No. I will use it.
despite its unusability. Okay, let's crack on to the main event.
To the main event. I mean, I'll be honest with you, all the unusable stuff is sort of, well, it's what Neil's used to. He'll be fine with it. So, I haven't explained to you what the podcast is, but that's okay. I will in a second. Allow me to start the podcast now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Leghole. It's me, Michael Legg. I've finished saying Michael Legg now. Hey, listen, guys. You will listen, Neil. You will not believe who has fallen into the leg hole today. And I haven't had a chance to tidy up. She tumbled right in. And look, it's the brilliant comedian, Deborah Francis White. Everyone applauds, everyone applauds, everyone applauds. Hi, Deborah.
Hello, darling.
I mean, even though we've been speaking for about 20 minutes, I don't think I asked how you are. How are you?
Oh, do you know what? I'm quite well at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm just sending a text.
Okay, you're busy. Okay, that's fine. We can work this podcast around your schedule, so don't worry.
While you were doing your intro, I got a text that seemed important, so I thought, oh, we'll just answer during the intro, but then I got involved in one of those conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry. I'm with you now. I've just said to them I'm on a podcast, so I'm with you now.
You're recording Leghole.
I didn't say that because she won't know what it means. She might.
It's a way to get the word out.
Yeah, no, okay. I'll text back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And if anyone listening to this, if you could just text a friend right now and say, I'm listening to Leghole. They'll just start a little conversation with you and your friends and, you know, we can get things moving on this podcast. I think we're up to I'm sure Neil must know someone. I worry that Neil only really knows me. Anyway.
Do I know Neil?
I've no idea. Do you know what? I might add that as one of the questions. I should explain what's going to happen here today, Deborah. What's going to happen is I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You like chatting, right? And you like quizzes. Who doesn't like a quiz?
I love quizzes,
right?
Yeah.
So this is kind quizzes, of like a quiz. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And from the answers that you give, I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you right at the end of the podcast. And then I'm going to hand it over to the police. So it's very straightforward. If you've been psychologically profiled before, I imagine you have.
I did a personality test once and they told me I was unemployable.
Do you know what? I'd say you are. And I mean that in the best possible way.
Well, that we had to end up taking it the best possible way. He said, that wasn't the only thing he said. It was just the thing I remembered.
Right.
He said, if you're asked to do something the company way, a certain way, you'll assess whether it's a good way to do it. And if you think you've got a better way, you'll do it your way. And I said, yeah, everyone does that, don't they? And he said, no, they don't. They do it the way the company's asked them to do it.
That's
and
true.
That's why. And I just thought, well, I don't believe that. I think there are loads of, and he said, no, like Madonna's unemployable.
Yeah.
You know, the Queen's unemployable.
Well, she's dead.
She is now.
Yeah.
That's
a Leghole exclusive. The Queen is dead, everyone. I mean, of course, we're all unemployable. Have you ever had a job?
I think most comedians are. Oh, yeah, loads, of course. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to guess what you've been. You've worked in a newsagent.
Yes.
Have you? I'm really good at this game, aren't I? By the way, at home, play along with what did Deborah Francis White once do?
When you met me, what job did I have?
Oh, did you have a job then? You definitely.
Yes, of course I did. Well, I met you at improv classes before I went to
Deborah, I'm not. Listen, I actually really don't know your background completely, but you stink of just having money somehow given to you. You constantly win the lottery or something. You just come across like you don't need to work under any circumstances. Like people just give you stuff.
Okay, so when I met you, I just left a cult, so I was cut off by absolutely everyone and shunned.
Right.
So
did you leave the cult, or did the cult sort of go, look, you're trying to run it the wrong way. You're not running it like the company wants to run it, and we want you out of the cult. You're uncultable.
It was a mutual, I think, in the end. I think, to be honest, I was always too much because it was the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't let women have a say in anything. And obviously, I wasn't going to go along with that. But when I met you,
yes,
I had a job where I lived at the job, and that's how.
Oh, you were a nanny.
I had a roof over my head, really? Yes. That's
Do you know
right.
what? I did know that, and actually, I could see that. I could see you being a nanny.
I used to drop you back from improv. Sometimes I'd drop you at the station or something because I had a nanny car. Do you remember what that car was?
You have to understand, I'm completely car blind.
It was a big car.
I don't see the difference between any cars. Different cars. I just don't.
But you don't. Do you remember being in my car? Do you remember that?
I don't necessarily remember that.
Okay, it was a big Land Rover.
Oh, was it?
Because they used to...
Wow.
I think they wanted a safe car that the kids...
I can totally see you being a nanny. I really, really honestly can. I think...
It was probably the best I've been in any...
I think you would be weirdly strict, but for their own good, but also you'd solve crimes.
That was it in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
James once said to me, in a nutshell. The hell's out of life? I was that
sure.
kind of nanny.
Good nanny.
James once said to me, you're better than Mary Poppins. I mean, wow. He probably wanted something, to be honest. No, I love being a
nanny. I never saw Mary Poppins till only a couple of years ago.
Oh, it's a lovely magical
it's
piece
fine.
For the eyes.
It's fine.
So I was a nanny, and I still am very close to the children I nannied for. One of them works with me now. I have every Christmas with that family. I'm still
That's
really close
so
to the
lovely.
Other family. Going to one of their weddings.
That's actually really nice. Soon. You're going to one of their weddings?
It is really nice. Yeah, well, only one of them's getting married.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
I can't go to all of their
I
weddings.
Was going
to
say,
one of them's already
listen,
married.
We're having a load of weddings, yeah. And you can go to one of them. I was yeah.
No, one of the children who okay. I nannied for is getting married, yeah. And I am going to that wedding.
You and I had very different early jobs. You were a nanny, and that means
yes.
you looked after children, whereas I was someone who put together autopsy photographs.
No. Yeah. When I met you, is that what you were doing?
No, it was before that.
What were you doing when I met you? Was it to stand-up comedy?
No. I didn't do stand-up until, like... 99. So, and we met what, 92, 93?
No way, I didn't meet you in 92. I was still in Australia in 92. Stop aging me.
Okay, 74.
You have to edit this out. Edit this out.
Okay, well, what edit what year out. Did it? Well, then 93. 93.
No,
it was.
No,
do you know what? It definitely later. Was. It was. It wouldn't have been much later. Do you know why? Because I know very little about life, but I know about music, and I equate you with Blur's Park Life. And that was definitely 94. So I...
Okay.
Right.
I did not... I'll tell you when I met you, 95 or 96.
It couldn't have been.
I am sure Park Life was still being played in the Red Rose.
It could have been. Hey, do you remember when we watched the OJ trial at the Red Rose? That was a...
Oh, my God.
That was a difficult improv gig.
We watched it.
We watched it, and then we did the gig, and it was really depressing.
I do. I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a theatre sports team at the Red Rose after one of those workshops we did, or at one of those workshops, and it was called Britvic.
Right.
And it was called Britvic because their log line was, Britvic, the OJ you can get behind bars. Oh,
That's good. That's good.
It's not bad.
That's
it's
good.
Not bad.
It's good. You see, it's not all bad. Something good came from it. Now, like I say.
I mean.
Yeah.
Go on.
Like I say.
Ask me some
I've got 10 questions.
We're
going to put together a psychological profile. I'm going to warn you of this right now, Deborah Frances White. The first question I'm going to ask you and the last question. Those are the questions I ask all my guests here at Lake Hall.
Mm.
But there's 8 questions right in the middle of these. And they've all been crafted just for you. Mm. I hope you like them. Here is the first question, Deborah Frances White. Do you like sherry?
Not really.
It's quite an,
I would
quite a
never
nanny
choose
drink.
It. Well, I remember someone at Oxford saying it's a tutor's drink. It's a chaplain's drink or a tutor's drink. It's like it's for older, important, serious people. And I think you and I have never grown up.
No.
So although we are old enough to be tutors at a university dons.
Mm.
We are not those people. So I think, listen, if someone put a glass of sherry in my hand and everyone else was drinking it, I would certainly be able to drink it and I might even enjoy it. But I've never once in my life asked for sherry.
No, I don't believe. Well, it's been well documented. Ask Neil. It's been well documented on Lego. I don't think I've ever had a sherry. There's no way on earth I've ever asked for a sherry. And I think I don't like sherry.
Have you had a sherry trifle?
No. I've never had a trifle. Oh. I've never had a trifle.
Oh, I'm going to make you a vegan sherry trifle.
It's one thing I will say about Leghall, it's making me remember all the things I've not had. I've not had a trifle. I've not had a yogurt. You know.
You've never had a yogurt?
I've never had a yogurt.
That's not true.
It fucking is true. I don't like the look of it. Don't like the look of it. I'm not going near it.
Look, I think we're finding out more about you. I think
really? Do you think this isn't what this is about?
The only psychological profile we're going to be doing at the end is Michael Legg a narcissist? And I can tell you, let's save time. Yes. Right then.
Yep.
Fucking hell. I have had yogurt and I've had a sherry trifle. I do not like trifle. I love trifle. I do not love sherry on its own. I think it's more the trifle part of the trifle that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. What's the next question?
Well, you like trifle, so I'm going to put down greedy on your psychological profile. Question number two, Deborah Frances White. Oh, this is a great question. I think you'll like this. Deborah Frances White. Who would play the part of you in a film of my life? Now, keep in mind, if it's a film of my life, let's not waste, like,
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Don't
waste her time because she's too big. What I mean is, if it's my life, you'll be in it. It's not like, you know, you'll be in it a lot.
Can I play myself then?
I think that's an insult. And also, I'm not too sure you could play the part of you.
It's probably the only part I can play. All right. So what? So I have to have. So if it were a big, you know, if by this point you've murdered someone, so it's a big feature film, Hollywood film, because you've gone on a rampage and you've murdered so many people, you get a Hollywood film.
Sure. Okay, if I murder you, we can get Catherine Zeta-Jones in.
Okay, all right. So if that's, you know, let's actually pull back from that. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for even going there. Catherine Zeta-Jones, because I think she's got my colouring and she's got, you know, I don't know. She's got. That would be very flattering if Catherine Zeta-Jones would play me, and obviously I would be delighted. But it wouldn't be like saying, you know, can Margot Robbie play me? Do you see what I mean? It's not unrealistic. It's.
I mean, I think it's unrealistic that Catherine Zeta-Jones would play me. And
I don't mean that. I just mean it's. I feel it's. If it's going to be in Hollywood, it's within reach. I think Catherine Zeta-Jones would take the call. I'm not saying she'd do it, but I think she'd read the script.
Okay. I mean, I have to put Raging Egomaniac down. Raging
Egomaniac.
And I get the feeling.
Robbie, no.
I get the feeling.
Margot Robbie, I'd feel embarrassed to ask. I'd be like,
you'll have nothing to do with the casting. I just want to know who you like. Once this film is greenlit.
Margot Robbie. Well, but listen, Margot Robbie was brought up in the same Australian beach town as me.
Right.
So I feel I've got an in there. I've also had a meeting at her production company with her husband, and then he came to see The Guilty Feminist.
There is actually a strong chance then that Margot Robbie... Is she available?
She's not available.
Because I can...
I would be so embarrassed if she played...
How long would it take to knock up a script about my life? What, an hour?
I'm just really worried that... She's going to meet me and then go, I'm playing you. And everyone's going to be like, oh, I know you. Margot Robbie played you in the film. And then they're going to see me and they're going to see me. And then they're going to go, oh. So I feel like this is me being patriarchal beauty standards here. Catherine Zeta-Jones is way out of my league. I don't know what I'm talking about. Can we please just reel this conversation back in? This has been done to trap me.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing has.
Toni Collette. People often say I look like Toni Collette.
Toni Collette's great.
Fabulous actress.
Yep. Good choice.
But
good choice.
When they say that, I think they're thinking of Muriel from Muriel's Wedding. They're not thinking of thin blonde red carpet Toni Collette, are they?
I've not seen Muriel's Wedding.
What?
I've not seen Muriel's Wedding. Poor old dear.
Okay, so I think if it's got to be out of British actors who we could actually get.
Yeah.
Margaret Capon Smith can play everybody.
That's true.
So,
like Alec Guinness.
I would trust Margaret Capon Smith to authentically present the essence of me.
But this is ridiculous because she's surely, if it's a film of my life, she's going to be in there somewhere. Be hilarious if she wasn't.
But she's like, yeah, as you said, she's like Alec Guinness or one of the, she's one of those actors that can play all the parts. So she'll play herself and me. Or I could play her and she could play me. That'd be fun.
Or would you just get, why can't I remember the name of the actress that you just talked about? I've got Molly Ringwald in my head. I know that's not her name.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No, the other one.
Tony
Collette. No, the other one.
Margaret.
That's the one. That's the one that's not Molly Ringwald. Well, we...
Margot Robbie and Molly Ringwald could not be more different.
No, you must understand, I don't really remember people who exist now. Mm. You know, I'm of a different...
So you're much more of the Molly Ringwald era.
Well, I remembered her name. Fame.
Yeah. They're both MR, that's what's happened.
What does that mean?
Margot Robbie, MR.
Oh, I see what you're saying,
Molly
right.
Ringwald, MR.
See, you know, these days, you just don't know. MR could be this whole new thing, and I've MR'd them, and suddenly they're cancelled. I don't fucking know what I've done. I don't know. So, do you know what? I'm actually.
I love the fact that you think you can cancel somebody just by pushing the wrong button on your phone.
That's what happened to Tom Binns. God. Anyway, let's move on.
Wow.
Let's move on.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Deborah Francis
yes.
White.
That's me.
Right. This is a great question. I think you'll really like this one. Here we go. Have you ever been recognized while you're not in the fucking mood for it?
Oh. Do you mean recognized by an old friend or recognized by a punter who
have you ever been formally recognized by your peers when you're not in the fucking mood for it? And the award goes to, better not be me.
They've gone, Deborah, I haven't seen you for ages. And I've gone, do you know what? I'm just going to pretend I'm not her and keep walking.
Have you ever blanked Emma Thompson?
No.
No, because you know Emma Thompson, right?
I do, yeah. She's really
lovely. Of course she's really lovely. She's Emma fucking Thompson. But do you know what? You know what? No one in the right mind. But you know what? You're a successful person. I'm not. You know, I'm a person that... looks at you from afar and occasionally WhatsApps you, you know, from afar.
I think that's absolutely
what I'm saying.
You're a very successful person.
I will stop you there. I'm a middlingly successful comedian and I'm a very unsuccessful person. You can't lie to yourself that way. I won't have it.
You certainly have major self-esteem issues. Did you go to the Chortle Awards? Because I would cite that as evidence.
Do you know what? Do you know what I did? Yeah. I didn't, but I was somewhere nearby. Would you like to know where I was? Sight. No, no. I was just busy.
Watching with
I was busy. Right. I said no to the Chortle Awards because I was going to a Women in Immersive Tech talk.
What?
Yep.
That seems implausible. Women in immersive tech?
Yeah.
What's immersive tech?
Well, you know, VR. Stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I was also otherwise engaged. But I do notice that if you show up to the Chortles, you will not win. It's like almost if you walk through the door, they take your name off the award and give it to somebody.
I would say it's you've like lost as soon as you turn up, yes.
No, it's true. The winners are hardly ever there. It's always the nominees and other hangers-on drinkers that are there. Anyway, go on, continue. Self-esteem, bad self-esteem.
No, but what I'm saying is, like...
Oh, yes. Have
right,
I been recognised?
No. I'm more interested now in the sub-question, which is, have you ever blanked Emma Thompson? Because here's the thing.
Obviously not.
Right, but here's the thing. How many times have you met her? 50?
I mean, I don't... You stop thinking of meeting somebody.
Exactly,
you do.
You do. You stop. Of course you do. I know famous people and I'm friends with famous people. Like Let me lie. King Charles, he's a friend of mine. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even see the crown anymore. You know, when I meet him, don't even notice it. So what I'm saying is, it's sometimes you just go, oh, I just want to be in my own. Oh, but here's Emma Thompson. Oh, I'm not in the mood. It's nothing to do with Emma Thompson. No. It's to do with you.
No, no, that's never happened. Okay. That's never happened. But I know what you mean. I'll tell you what, I'm always genuinely thrilled that anyone's interested in anything I have to say or my work. So I'm always genuinely thrilled if people want to come and say hi. There are certain environments where if I'm trying to have catch up with a friend and lots of people come over, I obviously will be nice to all of the people and I'm all still genuinely, genuinely thrilled. But sometimes there's certain places where someone will say, let's have a drink there. And I'll say, actually, do you mind if we go here? Because I really want to catch up with you. And I don't think we'll be able to do that.
So you wouldn't go, so one night, not fucking now, Emma?
No, I would not. I would,
do you know, I'm delighted
don't
about
see
that.
Enough of Emma and I'd always be.
I'm delighted about that. But, you know, it's because you're you that I would love to have. Like I say, I'd pay adult prices to see you that time in Greg's. And I think I'd pay, maybe not adult prices, but I'd pay, I don't know, like Pixies. You know, however much it costs to go to see the Pixies. I'd pay that much. To just see you sitting down as Emma Thompson walks towards you and you go, Emma, like you had to put an effort in. I would pay money for that because it would just be really, really funny. I would think, wow, Deborah's really become like mega successful.
I mean, that's, I think that would be the point at which I would be saying, can you talk to my personal chef? Because Michael...
Emma, bite into the sausage roll. Is it cold?
If I became that monstrous, that because I don't see enough of Emma, I think she's the most wonderful person. If I ever became so monstrous, I would hope that both you and Emma would stop talking to me. Because
which one first?
I mean, okay,
if me and Emma Thompson were drowning, and you can only save one of us.
Oh my god. Can we please move on to the next question?
I mean, you know, saving me is going to be really hard because, you know, at some point I'm going to drown anyway, right?
I mean, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
Listen, I think there's room for both you and Emma Thompson on that door.
So I'm just going to put would gladly let me die.
I think that door will hold both of you. And in fact, I believe James Cameron's just done an experiment to demonstrate it would.
Can I? I don't know really why I'm telling this, and I probably will regret that. And maybe this will be the first Lake Hall edit. I don't know. But I was once, I sometimes get recognised. And one time I got recognised when I wasn't in the mood for it. About 7 years ago. And I was not going through a good time. I was not in a good place. I don't mind telling you that, Deborah. I might regret telling the listeners, so this might get edited. And I'd just done a gig, and I decided I wanted to go to my local pub because it's quite late at night, but they stay open quite late, and it's always really empty. And I thought, I'll go in there, and I'll have a beer just to sort of calm down for a bit. So there I was in this bar about midnight on my own with a pint, and I just started crying, right? I'm crying. And then I just feel this whack on my back. And this guy appears and just goes, so, when are we seeing you back on Comedy Central?
And I
just looked up at him with teary eyes. And he went, I'm sorry, I'll leave you.
Oh, did he not say, are you okay, mate?
No, he said, I'm so sorry.
He just ran away.
Yeah. I think late night pub people understand pub etiquette, right?
Yeah, I do think this is why. I think because a woman would ask another woman, are you okay?
Yeah.
You need to talk. Can I get you anything? And then if you said, actually, no, I just need to be on my own, they'd say, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But they'd say, I'm here if you need me. I'm just in the corner. I'm open to talk. Men just go, oh, I've seen emotion. I'm backing away. And not all men, #not all women.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a trend.
I think that's fair.
Unfortunately means men die younger of heart attacks and are more likely to take a gun and shoot loads of people. That is what is happening right there. So if you are a man, you're listening to this, and if you are Neil, you probably are a man and you're listening to this. If a man is upset, it's okay to say, do you need to talk? Can I buy you a drink? Or would you rather me leave you alone?
I honestly, because... genuinely think that's such an important point. Thank you for making that. But I think even more importantly, I have not been back on Comedy Central. not been back on it once. No.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Let's go on to the next question. Here we go. This is a great question. Love this one, Deborah. Deborah Francis White. Have you ever sent an unsolicited dick pic to someone?
No.
That's a shame.
I was just thinking, have I shown another woman something that was sent to me? But I would never do it unsolicited if I have. No.
They are fun to draw.
I can't imagine sending a picture of my own parts.
I guess it's everyone's problem, obviously, with unsolicited dick pics. It's firstly the unsolicited part. That's obviously the worst part. But the other part is, who the fuck, who is that proud of what they've got that they're going to take a photo of it and send it to someone? If someone asked me to do it, I wouldn't do it. I've got no.
Really?
No, I definitely wouldn't.
So if I said to you now, Michael, right.
I'm with Emma. You've come up in conversation.
Mm-hmm. No, can we just leave poor Emma, who is not here and has not consented to this, out of it?
Okay.
If I said to you, late night, 2 o'clock in the morning, Michael, I've always been keen to just know
always,
what is your
I've always curious like. About your penis. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. You wouldn't send it to me under any circumstances.
No. In fact...
what if I'd...
You wouldn't come out of that well, because it would just be like, why on earth would you ever want that? And also, I know I'd sort of try maybe for a bit and go, no, there's no lighting in the world where this comes out well.
What if I'd already seen it? What if we were in a tryst?
Right.
If I'd already seen it up close and then I was far away from you and I was like, oh, Michael, we're having a bit of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling a bit frisky. I'd love to see a picture. Would you then send me that picture?
No, I wouldn't. No. In fact, I don't want to. I'm not a closed shop. I open my shop. But I don't ever want to be that close in a relationship where the person misses my penis. I mean, the look of my penis. I just don't like the idea of, do you know what? I really miss looking at your penis. Can I see it in a photograph? I go, no, you can't. Could you frame it and put it right by my bed?
Can you send me a mixed tile?
Yeah. I don't think I like sexy photographs. I've had sexy photographs sent to me either through partners in the past and I've never liked it.
You don't like... A girl sending you,
I don't like it.
A hot picture of herself, what? Just like topless or like looking at the camera or anything like that? You're not,
yeah, or, you,
you
know,
like
drinking
that.
A beer. Any of those sexy things that ladies do.
Drinking a beer?
I don't know. It's the first sexy thing that came into my head.
If your girlfriend was in a pub and sent you a selfie of her drinking a beer, you'd be like, ooh.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But you know what? I don't like sexy photos. I don't like them. Does that make me a
you
bit of...
You don't like sexy photos.
I guess I don't.
No, I don't, but I always think the narrative we're told is men are very visual and that's what men want. That's the narrative we're told. Mm-hmm. And we're told that men like pornography. And I certainly know men who've given up pornography. I don't know any men who've said, I never was into pornography. I know men have given up because they feel it was taken over their life. But I don't... No men who say I never like.
I think there's a weird. Maybe I'm just talking about myself here, but weirdly, it's an age thing. It just sort of naturally stops, doesn't it? Pornography just stops.
I have no idea.
I think you feel a bit older and you feel a bit ashamed of yourself to just stop.
So have you just stopped pornography because you aged out?
I think so. I think, you know, yeah, just. And also, everyone's having a great time. I'm not invited. It's like, it's like being not invited to the Chortle Awards. Imagine how hurt you'd be then. I mean,
I have in the past not been invited to the Chortle Awards.
Really?
That was devastating. Is it like sometimes when you listen to comedians on a podcast and they seem to be like having this like fun in time and you feel like this is past?
No. Because you know what? I'm long enough in the comedy tooth now that when I hear two comedians talking about how great a thing was, it was shit. Of course it was shit. Okay. Oh, do you remember that gig we did? Yeah, it was dog shit. You know, it was an Aberystwyth. It took you fucking ages to get back. It was in no way brilliant. Podcast with two comedians talking about how great something was, it's that scene from Anchorman. We've been coming to the same party for 12 years and in no way is that depressing. It's that. So, no, it's different from that.
I'm just looking through my phone for pictures I can send you.
Sure.
That will horrify you.
Sure.
Pictures that will horrify you that would be inappropriate to send.
I mean, you must have loads of them, right?
I mean, I wouldn't send you anything, you know, that would be... I wouldn't send you anything that would get me cancelled because it was...
What could possibly get you cancelled? Nothing.
Oh, are you joking? Oh,
no,
easily.
I'm not. Yeah, of course I'm not joking. What could get you cancelled?
I'm sorry, I'm just distracted by my own photos.
So you're looking through the dick pics that you've collected over the years and you're trying to find one that you could send to me now?
No.
Do you know what? I'm telling you this now.
I have on my Instagram. Mm-hmm.
You've got a load of dick pics.
I'll tell you what, who was it? Sophie Duker made me do this nude challenge on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she came on the podcast and I said that I don't do nude photographs,
right?
And Sophie's, you know, she's young, she's that kind of young millennial who's like sex positive, body positive,
yeah.
Nudes are, you know, and so she made this post that said I owe her nudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took nudes for Sophie Duker and put them on Instagram, and they are still in a special folder. You know how you can save your stories?
How would I know that? I don't know. I don't even know what...
You don't know how to say...
No, I don't.
You don't know what Instagram is?
I vaguely know what the Instagram is. I've used it. That doesn't mean I know really what it is.
So what I had to do was I had to do them, but I had to cover the nipples because, you know, nipples on breasts are not allowed. Your nipples are allowed on Instagram, but mine aren't.
Yeah. I don't think mine are, though.
Yeah, they are.
No, I don't think mine are. I don't think mine... I know what you mean, men's are, but I don't think mine particularly are.
So this is I'm going to send you now. Mm-hmm. This is a nude that I have on Instagram.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. It's nothing yet.
This is the...
Nothing yet. Yeah. I'm talking about my erection.
I haven't sent it yet. Hold on. Okay. So this is one.
Mm-hmm.
That's number four.
Okay.
So listeners, if you're listening, have you got it yet?
Oh my God, your hand is naked. Yeah, see that I'm fine with.
It's me submerged in a bath. I think
really?
That's the only one you'll be fine with. Yeah.
All I can see is your hand.
Okay, this is one. This is literally on my public Instagram right now.
See, this is a sexy nude that you would send to someone. One of you clearly drowning.
Of course not. It was of course not. This is
how
is
do you woo people? When, you into seeing how I would look?
This
dying?
Is me drinking tea. This is me drinking tea in the bathroom. That's a bit more.
Yeah.
You know. Again, I wouldn't send it to anybody.
Oh,
but,
what
know.
Sort of tea is it?
It's just Builders.
No fucking way. You don't drink Builders tea.
I do drink Builders tea.
Okay, so
I do drink builders tea.
Do you know what? Can I just say something to you here, Deborah?
Yeah.
I like to think that Leghole is quite a weird podcast, but well done you for out weirding every episode so far by live sending me nudes.
I mean, they aren't really nudes, though, are they?
They're not really nudes. I mean, that cup is hiding a lot of your face.
Yeah. So it's, if you're listening at home, it's in my nudes folder on my Instagram. I'd so forgotten that was there.
Neil will be wanking himself into a coma.
One of them is just me under the bath, and the other one is under the water in the bath. The other one is me drinking tea in my bathroom. And while I am a bit naked, the way that I'm holding both the phone to take the picture and the cup, you can't really see anything. That's what I've said.
It's very tasteful. Very tasteful.
The others are a bit racier, so I can't really send them to Michael, because it's one thing putting something on public and another thing sending to another human being. Isn't that weird? But like, it's less. If I did a nude spread in a magazine and you saw it, that would be fine because the magazine is public. If I sent you a nude of myself, that would not be fine because that would not be consensual. Do you see what I mean?
I totally understand. I've put porn star down in your psychological profile.
The other thing that I think on this is, how much would you have to pay someone in private? How much would Ant and Dec have to pay you in private to eat a grub or a bug? I mean, a lot for you because you're a vegan.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
If someone came around to your house and said, I want to watch you eat this grub.
Right.
Or these insects.
Uh-huh.
Because I just want to see it.
Right.
And they're like, it's 150 grand. I just want to sit and watch you do it.
Right.
That would feel really humiliating and really creepy and like a really dirty exchange. Like, you would not like
No, that. I wouldn't like it in the slightest.
But...
Yeah, but you're going to offer it?
If someone's paid 150 grand to go on I'm a Celebrity, it's like, oh, well, I've got a tax bill, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, a bit of fun, blah, blah, blah. Like, as soon as it's televised to the world, it's suddenly the status raise of being on TV somehow evens out the status lower of having to lie down while someone pours disgusting things into your mouth.
Do you think that's what will just end up being? All TV will just be, I'm a celebrity, I'm having a shit, and then celebrities will just live having a shit on telly, and then they'll get paid.
I love that you think television is going to be a thing. Television's not going to be a thing.
No, of course it's not.
Television.
Of course it. Well,
it's just going to be a jukebox of things. I mean, in some ways, that I mean, streaming is really up to the ante for TV. There's so much better TV on now than there ever used to be. So, yeah, we were in danger of it all being Celebrity Shark Tank, but those days, I think, have kind of gone. Network television's dying and streaming is not really paying for itself. So I don't really know where it's going. I think we're going to have to entertain us, make our own entertainment in 10 years' time.
But isn't that what we're doing anyway? TikTok, that is making your own entertainment. I wish people would fucking stop making their own entertainment. I liked entertainment being crafted and given to me.
I mean, you have become an irascible grandpa, but to be honest, it's what you always were. Mm. You were like that in your 20s.
A photograph of me recently when I was 5, and it's me screaming at the camera, and I realised, wow, I've really been doing the same act for a very long time. It's just shouting my head off. And the thing is, I haven't changed much. I actually look relatively similar.
You look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look the same. I saw that. Mm. You were looking at a car door or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. It's funny.
Yeah, that was me driving.
That was your first Edinburgh hour.
Yeah.
Just leaning out a car door, screaming.
I was one of the first, my dad's middle-aged shows, you know. I don't know why I found that so funny. But anyway, listen, we've got another question. Deborah Francis White, what animal could you outrun? Are you looking up more nudes?
I know, I'm genuinely
just any pause now, I'm just saying, runner. I've got one of my bum here. I know it's around here, so you'll like that.
No, I don't. I don't think you would. You wouldn't. The reason I sent you two that aren't really sexy,
right?
One of me submerged in a bath, and one of me holding a cup of tea, is you've already said you don't find sexy pictures sexy. So I would definitely not send you a genuinely sexy picture. Well,
I think I don't find them sexy because, oh Jesus, we're back on this fucking topic. But it's my fault. I think it's because I would hate for someone to go, oh, now send me one of you, and I go, oh man, I have to be sexy. I think I can be sexy. I think I can do it. I just don't want it to be frozen in time. You know,
when you're old, I want that. You'll regret that. You'll
be like, what do you mean, oh, when? When? What do you mean, when? I am.
To look back on. No, you're not old. You still look like yourself. You're still mobile. You're not old. What was the question? Could I outrun? I was thinking like a dog, but then I was like, some dogs are really fast. Like the greyhound.
I'd say most dogs are really fast. Yeah. You're not going to outrun
a
dog.
I'm not a very fast runner, so I don't.
Excuse me.
I mean, some cats, but again, my cat can be really fast when it wants to.
Cats can leap.
No, it must be like famously so animals like tortoises and sloths, I guess. Mm. Snails. I mean, famously, I could only outrun famously slow animals.
Right.
I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. I'm not fast. I am many things. One of them is not fast.
You could probably outrun a lot of people.
No, not a lot of people. No.
You could probably...
No. I'm not... I can be not unfit, but still, I'm still a slow runner.
Okay.
I can get really fit. In the pandemic, in the lockdown, I got really fit, but I'm still not a fast runner. I'm still not going to beat somebody.
Okay.
I'm just not a runner, Michael, and it's upsetting you've asked me this question.
Okay, I've put shit down in your psychological profile.
My God. It's really upsetting.
It's do you know what? It's only I've only just realised what a terrible idea for a podcast this is. It's probably really quite upsetting. Deflating. Here's the next question.
It's eroding of my confidence. Go on.
Deborah Frances White. Everyone likes winning things, and everyone likes a makeover. So you have won the chance to give me a makeover. What's the plan?
Oh, actually, I think you could look a lot better than you do. So this is an easy one.
Wow. I mean, no, my feelings are fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I mean, this is the problem. You bring people in here, you break them, and then they're brittle and cold inside and, you know, they will. No, I think you could look quite good in sort of slightly tailored, more preppy stuff. And I think you wear very soft clothes, and I'd like to give you some leaner lines.
I'm a soft
man. So I think I would take you down to German Street. I'd get you some fabulous suits. I'd get you some fabulous, like, you know, jackets and jeans and, you know, really crisp, sharp lines.
Okay.
And I would take you to a really, really good hairdresser and just get them to advise on what to do.
Mm-hmm. A perm?
Because I think I would need professional help.
You do?
But, because, you know, just like if we've got this great opportunity and we've won a makeover, I think we should really max out the competition credit cards and really go for it. I might get you a snazzy little sports car. Is that allowed in a makeover? It is, because I've just decided.
It is. You'd have to get me a snazzy little driving instructions. Driving lessons.
We'll cover that.
Yeah.
This is a fantasy. This is I'm being fairy godmother here. I've got the wand. Don't drag me down with admin.
Okay.
Like a silvery blue convertible.
Mm-hmm.
Some tailored lines. That's what I think would work.
What's stopping you from doing this?
Cash, time and interest.
But, hey, at least it's in that order. You know? I mean, like, interest is quite low down in the charts of the reasons why you're not doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy with that. I'm just going to put hates the poor down on your side.
Thanks.
Yeah, hates the poor. Here we go. Here's another question. Deborah Frances White. Deborah, you are a hugely successful performer and campaigner. How long can you go without weeing?
You know, lately, much longer than I used to be able to.
Yeah. I cannot say the same about myself.
No.
No.
It depends. But I think I've got into healthy habits and rhythms much more so. And so, yeah, surprisingly long time. Sometimes, you know.
Because your shows are quite long, aren't they? Like, I mean,
what are you saying?
I'm saying, shut up!
People get bored.
I'm saying, but you have long shows with lots of guests and, you know, and they're big events.
Yeah, I often need to go to the loo just before the show starts. I have actually, a terrible thing happened once at Leicester Square Theatre where I was brought on stage by a voice of God, but I was trapped in the loo.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this long delay and I had to explain to the audience when I came out and, you know, but I wasn't locked in the loo. I was just like, couldn't get out in time and I could hear the announcement being made. So I always go to the loo just before I go on stage. Perilously close. Mm-hmm. Some producers think.
It's wise though to do it. It's wise.
And then I might go in the interval.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling, you know, sensible.
How many drinks do you have during a show?
I don't drink alcohol before I perform.
Right.
I think it's my job to be ahead of the audience. So it's ideal if they've had a drink and I haven't.
Right.
But I'll tell you when I will have a drink. Sometimes in the second half of a show, late, if it's a late night show at the Fringe or something, and it would be better because we've all, you know, if we're chatting or something like that, we're all a bit loose. I'll tell you what, though, the reason it is dangerous to drink before a show, if I'm in charge of the show, I'll never drink. Never, never, never. Mm-hmm. If I've got to do stand-up, never, never, never. But if I'm on someone else's show, I'll tell you when I really ran into trouble. Mm-hmm. I came to do a show called Do the Right Thing. It's a podcast panel show where you're meant to be giving advice to punters.
Mm. Shit.
You are, I believe, mm-hmm. one of the regular team captains, and the other one is Margaret Caborn-Smith. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
I think you're right in that. I'll have to look it up.
Margaret Caborn-Smith and Danielle Ward offered me a drink. I said, oh, no, I don't drink before I perform. And they said, oh, well, you're something along the lines of passive-aggressively, but like to wind me up. Mm-hmm. It was a joke. It was a teasy joke. But we all talk about the people who don't drink on the show. No, you've got to have a drink. We're all having a drink. And they kind of teased me into having a drink.
Bullying.
So I had a drink.
Yep.
And then I told stories. Then I had a second drink and I drank it too quickly. Yep. And I told stories I should not have told.
I told the story about how you generously give a homeless man your gym membership card.
I told a story about going on an upstate New York spanking retreat.
Oh, yeah. That was good, wasn't it?
I was invited on by a friend during the 50 Shades of Grey era.
Sure.
And I felt like Louis Theroux. I was like, oh my God. But I told that story and I stuff like that, that I just went, oh my God. After I left, I went, what have I said? Because it's a podcast. It's out there forever. If it was just live, then you'd think, oh, well, I can always do
it. But you're an improviser. You're an improviser. You must suffer. You know, I'm not having to go to you. I'm saying we all suffer from this as improvisers.
You're an improviser. You must suffer.
You must suffer.
You're an improviser. You must have known suffering.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you haven't, you will. What I'm saying is you must suffer a lot from improv hangover. Like you wake up the next day and you go, oh, fuck, did I actually say that on stage? So, you know.
Of course.
What's the difference? Might as well have a drink.
Well, when you're an improviser, I'll tell you what, when you're an improviser, it's all made up. And everyone, the bar is low because everyone knows it's all made up. So it's fiction. Mm-hmm. So no one's really going to remember that they saw me do a bad job pretending to buy a pair of shoes from someone who isn't really a salesperson in real life, are they? They are going to remember that I went on a spanking retreat in upstate New York, and that's a true story. So do you see the difference between those two things?
Okay, I do see the difference, but surely you see the difference in whether or not, you know, you want to be funny or not. Whereas on Do the Right Thing, you were really funny telling that story. So you didn't wake up going, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed I wasn't funny.
No.
So
I just was like...
But you do...
Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. What if somebody hears that and plays it to my mum?
Well, that was my plan, to play it to your mum. But now, I don't know who your mum is, so
thank
it's
God.
Probably... Thank God. I think you're probably safe. What I'm saying is, you don't, you know, you that's what an improv hangover is. You wake up and you go, oh, Christ, that was so unfunny. And surely that's a worse feeling than, oh, my God, I said something inappropriate.
Yes, but I don't think you should drink to become funny. I don't think that should be your motivation to drink.
Well, do you know what? I think we'll just have to agree to disagree. Whereas,
what are the other questions? Because I've got to go on another Zoom in a minute.
Well, you can still go on your other Zoom. I'll just... can you not do two Zooms at the same time?
Just tell me the other questions.
Okay. So I'll put down... I'm going to put down unprofessional. Unprofessional. Here we go. Next question. Deborah, have you read Watchmen yet?
No.
You're a fucking idiot. Next question. Deborah, you are a wonderful... I'll just put fucking idiot down here. Sorry, fucking idiot. You really are an idiot for not reading that book. Deborah, you are a wonderful role model. Do you know what? Something's just popped in my head. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
You know what I'm like when people make noise out of their phone when it's unwanted, right?
Mm.
So I'm walking in the park and someone's blaring some fucking bullshit out of their phone. I'm like, God, that's so fucking rude. But as I got closer to them, I realized it was your podcast and I got really chuffed.
Oh, that's so nice. What a lovely story.
I didn't tell them off. I'm like, oh, that's
nice. I'm so happy you didn't berate them because it was me talking.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is...
It's a lovely story.
If you do see me on a train and you listen to something, just swap it to Guilty Feminist quite quickly and you should be fine. Anyway, Deborah, you're a wonderful role model. Do you think you'd make a good man?
God, I sometimes dream about being a man.
Do you? It's not a good dream though, is it?
No, I'd be... just to be a man for like a week so I could present my opinion as fact.
I don't think you'd like the smell.
I'd like to try it. I'd love to try it just to see what it was like, just to flex a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm open to trying it. But I think most people would, you know, would, if they could, you'd want all these different experiences, wouldn't you? I'd love to live in the 1800s. I'd love to try being a man. I'd love to, you know, try being a marine biologist.
Sure.
You know, all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to be a lion. That'd be fun.
Is it great?
Not many vegan lions, though. I think I would get toppled from my role as the alpha pretty quickly with all my
100%. Okay, all right. Well, I'll just go on. Tom, can my laptop, other laptop, do Zoom now?
Yep.
Caddy, have you fixed that? Oh, okay. All right. I'll just do the Zoom on that laptop.
What I like about this is you're the guest on this podcast, and even I don't have a producer. But you've got one on for your part in this podcast.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. But
okay,
yeah,
I'll just put Diva down. There we go. Here's the last question. Deborah Frances White. What is leg hole?
What is what? Leg hole?
Yeah, what is it? What do you think this is? What do you think has happened here?
I think this is a way for you to catch up with friends who you think might not go to the pub with you if you asked. Like, and I think you should have more faith in us. I think if you had texted me and said, I'd really miss you, Deb, and I'd love, let's go for a drink.
I have done that before, by the way. I have done that before.
That.
I have done that
I'd
before.
Be like, I love
I have, that yeah, before. That's what you say. You say, I'd love that. And then that's the last I hear of it.
That's not true. I've definitely met you for a drink.
Oh, well, like, I think so, maybe once.
So, well, let's, I would say that. Also, I do think the format, which is to reduce
confidence,
that human being down to them. I mean, some of your reductive assessments haven't been wrong.
No, sometimes I've really nailed it.
The boldness of your broad brushstrokes does pay off in some strange way, doesn't it?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's here for a reason. You know, and at the end of the day, once this is passed on to the police, I mean, you'll probably be fine. But say you aren't, it's good to know either for the safety of you or the safety of the public that it's there.
Yeah.
You just said that it's
and if there's no one I trust more than the Met Police.
Exactly.
With women's
good guys,
they do nothing but look after women, protect women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just listen
super duper guys.
You know, if super duper guys, and if anybody's listening internationally, and doesn't know that the Met Police are currently under investigation in every single different direction for violence against women, not just not protecting us from violence, but actual horrendous violence and murder and other terrible assaults against women, then please don't give it a Google. It'll really upset you. But I just want to say I am not, I don't want anyone taking this literally. And if I know one thing about the internet, mm-hmm. Anything I say can and will be used literally in a court of law.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I put down in your psychological profile, loves the police. But as I was writing the word police, the ink ran out.
Yeah.
So there we go.
And you.
Deborah, thank you so much for doing Leghorn.
Sorry, what's the fine analysis? Well, do I not hear anything fed back?
I'm going to tell you right now. Deborah Francis White, what we have learned today is that you're greedy, you're a raging egomaniac, you would gladly let me die, you're a porn star, you're shit, you hate the poor, you're unprofessional, you're a fucking idiot, you're a diva who loves the police. But you know what? Those may not sound great, but when you put them all together, they make the lovely person that is Deborah Francis White. Everyone applaud. Come on, Neil. Thank you so much for joining me here. I'm so sorry that you were busy throughout the podcast, but maybe you would like to come back when you're free.
Just to say, if you're listening and you are a porn star,
mm-hmm.
we're not saying that's a bad thing to be.
Definitely not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's what you are.
All the other things seem to be like bad things to be.
Well, diva's not a bad thing.
Well, some people might think it is.
I think shit's a bad thing.
Yeah,
been shit, but yeah.
Egomaniacal.
Yeah.
Not great. All the others, loves the police.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if I'm talking about the Met Police.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say, if you're a porn star and you're listening,
or you're
not a star, just engaged in the adult entertainment industry, all power to you. I hope you're having a good, lucrative time.
Yeah, a great time.
Michael, it was wonderful to fall down your leg hole.
Yeah, would you mind wrapping up this podcast? I'm actually a bit busy.
If you could, well, it did start at 2, to be fair, and it's now 20 past 3. So, you know, I don't think I'm being unreasonable.
I've signed off, so you just wrap it up. I'm signed off.
Could I just make one request?
Sure.
Would you send me a picture of your leg hole after this is finished?
Do you know what? Because you've asked. Oh, you'll get one. So enjoy that. Deborah Francis White, thank you so much for joining me. You've been lovely and you always are lovely. I hope to see you for this fucking promised drink at some point in the future. It'll never fucking happen.
I'll meet you at the Chortle Awards next year. The drinks will be on Chortle.
Do you know what? Who knows? Maybe everything will go fucking wrong and we'll have to go to the Chortle Awards next year. So let's hope so.
You might be nominated next year.
That's what I mean. What a nightmare.
Okay, do I have to do anything at my end to get this to you, or is it just your end?
No, see, this is a very unprofessional thing. You just need to say goodbye to Neil.
Bye, Neil. Bye, Michael Legg.
Bye.
Bye, everyone who's fallen down the leg hole. I hope you get out.
Bye. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.